But anyway, today we're going to be looking at lesson number 9. And this is Sunday morning, December the 31st, 2023. Last day in this year. And what a great thing to know that we could be in the house of God on the last Sunday in this year, 2023. Next Sunday we'll begin a new year. And I hope it will be a great year for each of us. And as we serve the Lord and we live for the Lord, listen, I want you to make sure that you give Him your best. Serve Him with all of your heart. Today's lesson is entitled, Do You See What I See? And it's going to be from Zechariah chapters 3 through 6. I'm going to try to get through as much of this today as we can and try to help you with it. But I want you to understand this lesson. We oftentimes look at things from physical eyes. We don't look at it through the eyes of faith. We don't look at it through God's eyes. And God was trying to help His people to see things the way He saw them. They had been through so many things. They had turned their backs on God. They had been through 70 years of captivity. They had been through times of discouragement. All kinds of situations had happened. But God wanted to give them hope. Amen. And He wanted to help them to see that He still had a plan for their life. Now, that main plan was rebuilding the temple. And as you know, Zerubbabel had been given that order to rebuild that temple. And he had done everything he could do physically, but it wasn't in the power of man that he was going to get all these things accomplished. It was going to have to be in the power of God. And folks, there are times that you and I have to understand, there is only so much that we can do physically. There's only so much work that we can do. And the rest has to remain up to God. And the Bible verse today, our theme verse, the Bible said here from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Hey, listen, what is going to bring revival in our nation? Only the power of God. Amen. Only the power of God, the power and might. And I want you to see this today as we go through this lesson. They needed to learn to trust God. And they needed to learn to depend upon God and upon His strength for their journey in life. And as God reminded the people of all the work that needed to be done, He also reminded them, listen, you can't do this. Folks, listen to me today. There are things that you and I can do and we ought to do for the Lord. But there are many things that we cannot do. I cannot bring conviction upon the hearts of people, but God can. Hey, listen, I can't bring revival into my life, let alone somebody else's life, but God can. And there are things that we have to understand that only God can do. And we have to learn to trust God to do those things. We get frustrated, don't we, when we don't see God working on the time frame and in the manner that we think He ought to be working. We get frustrated with things. We say, Lord, why are you still letting this happen? Why aren't you doing this? I prayed for this person for so many years. Why aren't they saved? Why aren't they living for you? We got to leave some things to God. And God has to do the work. And the fact is, folks, if you and I ever plan to be found serving God, we first must be found depending upon Him. We've got to learn to depend upon Him for everything. God always provides encouragement. He always provides strength. He always provides power in order to perform the task that He has given us to do. And I want you to see that in the lesson today. The people probably looked at Zechariah and they said, Zechariah, do you see what we see today? The enemy was all around them. The nations around them were not serving God. They had overtaken them. And they had caused a lot of problems. And you know, folks, today, the enemy is all around us today. Israel, I look at Israel, and all around Israel, the enemy is around them everywhere they look. But folks, the work that God has set before us is not too great to accomplish if we allow God to do what He wants to do through us. And folks, today, I'm telling you, if we will learn to trust God, we will be able to see God do great things. I don't want to sound bad or mean, but listen, sometimes we just got to sit back and let God do His work. Amen? We have to let God do His work. That doesn't mean we stop doing what we're supposed to be doing. That doesn't mean that we stop praying. That doesn't mean we stop soul winning. That doesn't mean that we stop reading our Bible and telling others about Christ. But we do what we can do, and we leave the rest to God. Amen? We leave the rest to God. Listen, I can go to the grocery store and buy the groceries. I can bring them back in the bags, get them out of the car, stack them in the cabinets or in the refrigerator and all that other stuff. But I'm going to leave the rest to my wife because she can fix it. Amen? She can fix it good. She can fix it a lot better than I can. I can mess up a lot of stuff. Not only the dog will look at it and look at me like, Daddy, is that real? You know. Listen, we have to leave most of the things that we need to trust, you know, ourselves for. We need to give that back to God and allow Him to do the work. So I want us to look at this lesson today. Do you see what I see? I want you to see, first of all, the vision of the clothing of Joshua. I don't know who brought this little gift, but thank you. I'm not sure what it is. Oh, I think I do know what it is. It's Whoppers. Amen. Those are better than Burger King Whoppers. Amen. That's great. Amen. I got a coupon for Burger King Whoppers. Thank y'all. I don't know who brought that, but thank you much. I'll take care of this when I get done. All right. Amen. My wife can't have that. I'll pray for her. Amen. I want you to look at this today. We're going to start in Zechariah chapter number 3. I want you to see the vision of the clothing of Joshua. I want you to see this vision. The vision is seen here in verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read these verses to you. And he showed me, Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Boy, isn't that what Satan does all the time? He resists against us. He fights against us. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord, and I want you to notice that, so that's all capital, the Lord God Jehovah, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let him set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Now here in verse number 1, Zechariah saw Joshua. Joshua was the high priest, okay? He was the one in charge of setting up the sacrifices and doing all he was supposed to do for the people before God. And he's standing before the angel of the Lord. Now, we know who the angel of the Lord is, right? It's the Lord Jesus, pre-incarnate. But notice in this vision that he saw Satan there as well. He saw Satan there. And you know, today, and again, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm going to tell you something. Satan is more faithful to church than most church members are. He is more faithful because he wants to distract. He wants to discourage. He wants us to look at other people and get our minds and things set on people instead of the message from God. He's going to do everything he can do to accuse the brethren, okay? And I want you to see what the scripture here is talking about. Satan was there, standing beside Joshua as well, doing what he always is found doing, resisting, and accusing the brethren, opposing the saints of God in any and every way that he possibly can. And you know, I thought about, as I was studying on this lesson, I thought about that passage in Revelation. And I wrote it down here, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And the Bible said here, and I heard a voice, a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Can you imagine Satan standing before God accusing the brethren day and night? Boy, if God would open up our spiritual eyes today to see the warfare that is going on around us, boy, I wonder what it would do in our hearts and our lives as far as living for God. But I especially love what John wrote in verse 11 of that same chapter, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And the Bible said here, John wrote this, and he said, and they overcame him. They overcame Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The devil is scared of the blood. He is as my little cousin used to say, he's afeared. Okay, he's afeared of the blood. He's afraid of the blood. And look what he said. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. In other words, this was not what mattered. In our world today, all that matters, it seemed like, is just the physical, the temporal, okay? I don't know how many little ads I've gotten in my email here lately for losing weight in the new year. Now, if some of y'all sent that out, shame on you. That was bad. Don't give me whoppers and expect me to look like Charles Atlas, amen? I'm trying to be a blessing to you and get rid of these things, all right? I don't want to lay that burden on anybody else. I wouldn't do that. But you know what? Listen to me. We get advertisements for everything, for the physical. But how many times do we think about the spiritual? The things that only God can do in our lives to give us a tender heart for souls, to give us a heart that's willing to trust the Lord in all things. When it seemed like there's no other place to turn. And you know, I look at this. These folks stayed faithful unto the Lord unto death. I want to be found faithful unto the Lord, even unto death. Amen. I want to just stay faithful. Now, why would Satan be standing there resisting Joshua as Joshua stands before the Lord? Why would Satan be resisting him? Well, it's obvious here that Satan was complaining to the Lord that this mere mortal man had no right to stand before God in his garments that were filthy and unclean. It was a representation of how unworthy this man of God was to stand in the presence of God. And Satan was reminding God, he's not worthy. He doesn't stand before you. He's a sinner. And you know what? He does the same thing with you and me today. And I love when the devil reminds me of my past. I love to remind him of his future. Amen. He's going to be cast into the pit of fire forever and forever. And never again will he ever torment me. Never again will he ever torment you. I love to remind him of his future that's coming. The Bible said here in verse 3, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he stood before the angel. But I want you to take note that the Lord God himself rebuked Satan. Listen, when the devil accuses you, and when the devil tries to make it look like you're just nothing, you're just unworthy to stand before God, because we are unworthy. Look at what happens here. The Lord rebuked Satan. Do you like that? The Lord rebuked him. And look at verse 4. He answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Boy, it was all because of Jesus. Amen. I love that song our choir sings, In Christ Alone. It's not in our good works. It's not in our good deeds. It's not in anything that we could merit for ourselves that we're able to stand before God. It's in Christ alone. And then I want you to take note here. verse number 5, that Zacharias stood up and he said, "Let them set a fair mitre upon his head." So they set a fair mitre, a hat, upon his head, and they clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. I want you to see this great fact this morning, folks. I want you to see this. While Satan stood there accusing Joshua and the people of God, God's chosen people, of being unworthy to stand in the presence of God, the Lord God himself, think about this, the creator of the universe, the one who stepped out on eternity and spoke the words, "Let there be," and it was. Let it be. This same God stood and he rebuked Satan, and he reminds Satan that he himself had chosen Jerusalem. They were chosen of God, and God had made the way possible for both Joshua and the people of God to stand there before the Lord. Folks, let me remind you something today. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But you know what? Listen to me. You cannot trust and obey until you first know him as your Savior. You cannot trust him and obey him until you know him and he has redeemed you. And you know, I want to remind you of the words that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verses 33 through 34, listen to what he said. He asked a question here. And when I thought about this, I was reading this during the week, and I thought about this, and man, I about had a running spell. And listen to what he said. Paul said, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Amen. That's our Jesus today. Do you see what I see today? I see us standing not in our goodness, not in our nice fancy clothes, not in our nice fancy house or nice fancy car or nice fancy church, but I see us standing in the power and the grace and in the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And when the devil stands against us, listen, it's Christ that makes intercession for us. Hey, listen, look at Hebrews chapter 5 just a moment. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. The writer of the book of Hebrews wrote something here that just thrills my heart. He's writing to the Hebrews, trying to help them not to continue to just be Hebrews. He's trying to help them to be children of God. And he's reminding them of some things here. And he said, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the ways? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity." In other words, the priest was also a sinner, okay? "And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins." And knowing this, Satan accused Joshua of being a sinner. Knowing this, Satan accused the people of God to be unworthy to stand before the Lord God. But look at this. The Lord God himself, he's the one that rebukes Satan for us. Boy, you see all this stuff on TV nowadays, these religious groups. "Oh, you just curse Satan and you rebuke Satan. You got the power to do that. The power of rebuking Satan is in our tongue." Satan's not afraid of us. He's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of me. But he's afraid of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's afraid of the Savior. And God himself, look at Satan, he said in the last part of verse 2, he said, "Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" We burn wood at our house to heat the house. And man, I wouldn't dare try to pluck a piece of wood out of that fire to save it. But you know what? God reached further down, folks, than we could ever reach up. God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. In Acts 10, 28, it reminded me of what God told Simon Peter. When Simon Peter was told, go see Cornelius and eat, you know, eat these food. He showed him all these different types of unclean animals on a blanket, on a sheet being let down. And three occasions, Simon Peter looks at him and said, Lord, I'm not touching that. I'm not going to be eating anything unclean. And the Bible said there in Acts chapter 10, verse 28, God looked at him and said, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Common, sinful, unworthy. What God cleanses, he makes worthy. Amen. And boy, I'm thankful for that. Now look at this. In verse number 6 and 7, we see not only the vision, but we see the interpretation of that vision. Look at it. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Joshua was standing before the Lord God as God's high priest. He was unworthy to do that, but God had placed them there. And just as we see in Genesis chapter 3, how that Adam and Eve could not stand before God in the clothing that they had made in themselves, the fig leaf aprons that they had made to hide their sin, to hide their naked condition before God. God said, no, this is not what's going to happen. I'll make the way. And God took a little lamb, and he killed that innocent lamb. And he clothed both Adam and Eve with the skins thereof. God made the way for them to stand before him. And God has done the same thing for you and for me through the power of the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God stripped down Adam and Eve from their own self-righteous, man-made garments, okay? He stripped them down to where that they were nothing in themselves. He did what they could not do for themselves. And here in this verse, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, God was the one that had to make the way possible for his man to personally come before God. God made the way. Man, isn't that great? God made him worthy. And listen, God took Joshua's old filthy garments and he exchanged them. And look at verse 4. He said, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. I think about a little song we used to sing on our Sunday school bus. The old garments, you ever heard that little song? I can't even remember the words of it all right now, but it talked about taking off the old garments and put on the new. This is what God did for you and for me. Our robes of sinfulness and garments of just filth and ragged stuff, God exchanged when he gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God, that's what he did for you and for me. And look at this. Only God could do this. And he said there, the Bible says in verse number 5, and the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord stood by. Folks, listen to me. When you get into a rut and you get into a mess where you think you're standing there all by yourself, I want you to remember something. The angel of the Lord will stand by. Amen. Turn with me over to the book of Acts chapter 23 just a minute. He stands for us spiritually. He gives us spiritual and physical security. But look at this in Acts chapter 23, verses 10 and 11. The Bible said, and when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You know what? God provides physical and spiritual security in all of our lives. But I want you to notice also, He stands by us for assurance, so that we can rest assured of what the Lord Jesus does. Look at it. Acts chapter 27. Turn over just a couple chapters. Acts 27, verses 23 through 25. Look at this. Paul is giving testimony, and he says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Amen. Isn't that great? And he said, saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." That's the key today, folks. We've got to trust God. We've got to believe that God is faithful to His Word. He'll do what He said He would do. "For I believe God," Paul said, "that it shall be even as it was told me." But thankfully, God, the Lord Jesus also stands by us for the fulfillment of the promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. There may be times in your lives where you think, "Lord, have you left me?" You know, when I pray, "Lord, it just seems like it's just bouncing off the clouds. It's not getting anywhere. Lord, you promised me you'd never leave me nor forsake me. What's going on? What's going on?" Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 just a minute. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Verses 16 through 18. And Paul here again is giving testimony of the goodness of God. And he said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." There are going to be days, folks, when it seems like everybody has forsaken you. Family, friends, loved ones, everybody's gone away. He said, "I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen." Amen. That's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. That's the one that will never leave us. So let me tell you, if you will, let me ask you this. What is the connection that we're trying to look at here between our salvation and our service unto the King of Kings? What is the connection here? I want you to look at verses 6 and 7. Zechariah chapter 3. Verses 6 and 7, Joshua is first told to walk in God's way. Listen, when we are saved, when God saves us, we are to love the one who has saved us enough to walk with Him and to serve Him in all that we do. If we do this in loving obedience, if we do this not because we are made to, but because we want to, amen? When I got saved, God changed my wanter, amen? I wanted to be with the Lord. I wanted to serve Him. I wanted to live for Him. But secondly, look at this. Joshua was to keep God's charge, which meant he was to be faithful in the duties that he was to perform as the high priest. He had been given the law of God. He was to give the people the law of God. And you listen to me today, folks. You and I have been made priests today. I am the high priest of our house, so to speak, okay? And listen to me. We have a job to do. And we're to let folks know what God has done for us. We're to be faithful in our duties unto the Lord before our families, before our friends, before our loved ones. And notice, too, here, what would happen if he was to do this, if he did these things. Look what God said to him. He said he would be able to judge or govern over the Lord's house. Listen, you can't do that outside of being willing to do what God said do. Listen, our pastor can't do. He can't carry the burden that he has to carry here for the people and for the things that are going on unless he's doing what God said do. And you can't either. We've got to be willing to do what God said do. But secondly, Joshua would be able to keep the Lord's courts, meaning that he would have the privilege, he would have the responsibility to teach the people how to stay away from idolatry. If he did which was right with the Lord, then he could be able to show the people how to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Now I want you to remember our theme verse this morning. Our theme verse said, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." True salvation brings forth responsibility. To those who are truly saved, God gives us a responsibility. And we're to see that responsibility. Do you see what God sees? He sees a responsibility he has given unto us. But secondly, look at this. That responsibility that is recognized, that we see that we've been given, it should then produce an action called service unto God. Listen, if you're not serving God, who are you serving today? If you're not serving God, who are you serving today? Let me say this. Let me tell you who most folks are serving today. Self. Whatever pleases self. If I'm happy, everybody should be happy. But if you're miserable in the Lord, you're making everybody miserable. And I don't want to be that way. That service unto God brings forth rewards, both in this life and in the life to come. And in the life to come, there are going to be eternal rewards. I was thinking the other day, man, about we were driving through the places that we used to go with our Sunday school bus. And we're just driving through those neighborhoods. And I got to thinking, I asked Lisa, I said, I wonder what happened to these kids and this family that used to come and ride our Sunday school bus. And what we did when we brought the kids to church, our goal was to make that an opportunity to get into the home to speak with the parents. And we got to lead many of the parents to Christ. There were times that we had more parents riding our bus than we did children. And our goal was to wean them all off our bus route. You say, well, shouldn't your goal be to make the number bigger on your bus route? Well, no, not really. Because what we wanted them to do is not for us to bring them, but for the parents to see their responsibility to bring their family. And we had many families that started coming to church because the bus went through that neighborhood, led their children to Christ. We got to lead the parents to Christ, and then we said, listen, we'll bring you to church, but if you got a car, you ought to be the one to bring your children to church. And God bless that. And look at verses 8 through 10. The Lord God himself indicated here to Joshua that both he and all the other priests that would come after him would be spiritual types of the coming Messiah. These priests were there not to take away sin, because the blood of bulls and goats could never wash away sin, but it was a picture of what was to come through the promised Messiah. Jesus Christ would be that promised Messiah. And look at verse number 8, what he tells him here. He says, "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." And look at that word branch. It's all capitalized. You know who that's referring to? Jesus Christ, amen. The branch. It would be Jesus. In verse number 9, he'd go on to say, "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes." And that seven, they're representing spiritual perfection, the perfect vision of Christ. "For behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that day in one day." Man, think about it. God was going to do a work that only God could do. But it was going to require the responsible actions of the people of God. And folks, I don't have time to finish up the rest of this lesson this morning. I may get to it next week, okay? I may change the whole thing again next week. We'll look at it. But I want you to understand something. There are things that you and I can do and we ought to do for God. And as we close out this old year and we look at beginning a new year, we need to look back and say, you know what, Lord? I kind of messed up on some things this past year. But God, I want to see you in a new light. I want to see the Lord God high and lifted up. And Lord, I want to be more responsible for serving you. I want to tell more people about the Savior than I've ever told before. I want to be found faithful in all I do. Lord, my desire should be to do more for you in 2024. And that should be our desire today. Next week, we'll come back. We'll look at the vision of the candlesticks and the two olive trees. And I'll try to get through the rest of it. But listen, folks, you need to look at this and see Christ. What do you see? Do you see what I see? God was showing Joshua, his son, that was going to come and do for man what man could not do for himself. Let's thank God for that today. Amen. Let's thank Him for it. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today. And Lord, I want to say thank you again for doing for me what I could not do for myself. Lord, there is no way that I could bring salvation to my home or my family. Lord, there's no way that I could redeem my sinful soul and do the things that you've done for me through the years. But God, I want to say thank you for loving me. And thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. And I pray now, God, that you will bless this lesson. Help the words of my lips be spoken in such a way that, Lord, it will speak to the people's hearts. And Lord, you've got a means to help them, encourage them, to strengthen them, to help them to see that, Lord, not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit, you'll see things done. Watch over our pastor now as he stands to preach for us in just a few moments. And God bless us now as we leave this old year and enter into the new year with a desire to do more in 2024. And God will thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you this morning. If you did not get a Christmas ornament, if you got in late, you didn't get